understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993ESPN.
99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. It is a party, and it's a party in Southwest Florida. We are ready to go. It is the weekend. A big old thunderstorm stretching from the Caloosahatchee almost down to Alligator Alley along the east side of I-75. Some trickle over. Be careful driving home in case you're, partying with the windows down and your hands in the air like you just don't care.
But party safe.
But party safely.
Party
safe
safely,
time.
Yes.
Always party yes. safe. So there we go. The official kickoff to the weekend. We are good to go. The Miley texts are coming in.
I love it.
Everybody is happy.
Absolutely
and in a good mood.
It.
You just can't be in a bad mood. Listen to that. Ready to go.
It's so ridiculous.
Meanwhile, people are hammering me for Wikipedia on my performance.
Yeah, not great.
Even though I won.
Yeah, but you, yes, you did win.
Go ahead, say it.
No, I mean you...
Say it, carefully. Say it.
Yeah, you...
I won against an elderly man that may not know...
Yeah. A lot of the music
the
questions
music.
That I put out. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not like you won. We just ran out of questions.
Somebody said I'm the Cardinals of Wikipedia. I don't play any games.
Which is spectacular. Great analogy.
What are they, 2-3?
3-2.
3-2. Incredible.
And they play again for the first time in over two weeks. They will play tomorrow, 7-inning doubleheader against the White Sox, 110 and 410.
They're going to play nothing but doubleheaders the rest of the way to get caught up? They have to, right?
No, Sunday the 16th, they only play one game against the White Sox. Let's go. A lot of postponement when I pull up their schedule.
Yeah,
and I don't know if all the doubleheaders have been rescheduled. How many games did they miss? 4, 9?
Well, about 15 games behind
12,
pace.
15, 18 games they missed. Sheesh.
That's a lot.
So they'll play
18 games in a 60-game schedule, of which we're a third of the way through already.
They'll play two games on Saturday. They'll play two games on Monday. They'll play two games on Wednesday. One game. Then a week from Thursday, they'll play a doubleheader. Then they'll play a doubleheader the following Saturday. Then a doubleheader the following Tuesday. Then a doubleheader the following Thursday. Then a doubleheader the following Monday. They're doing about two doubleheaders a week. That's about where the Cardinals are.
They are the reason baseball implemented the seven-inning doubleheader. Right there. Can you imagine if they had to go 9 every all the time?
They wouldn't have any pitchers left.
They'd have nobody left. Country sucks, says Craig's win comes with an asterisk. Come on.
Yes.
Like Dabo's national championship is going to be.
No. Like Nick's national championship is going to be.
Oh.
Mac Jones is going to lead the Tide this year.
So you're admitting to an asterisk, but even if it's Alabama.
Do you know how many national championships at Alabama have asterisks? About half.
Well, that's true.
About half of them.
But for Nick Saban, he doesn't want to pass. This is the one that passes Bear Bryant and have an asterisk next to it.
A lot of Bear Bryants have asterisks. Okay. They get one first place vote in the IUPUI poll. I know that's not a poll. I'm just throwing.
You know, it used to be. No,
not
the
IUPI.
UPI.
Yeah, the UPI.
That was clever.
Anyway, he gets first in that, but not coaches, not AP. They're claiming a national championship in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
What else do you think you get up to, what, 17?
Is that what it is?
Those aren't all on the up and up. One of those is more legit. Well, I was going to say UCF's got one that's probably more legitimate than one of Alabama's, but I don't agree with that.
Okay. Yeah. All right, very good. All right, let's do this. It is time for the final one of the week. Time for a SportsCenter rundown, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Chris.
And we will start out with some great news.
Yeah.
The FHSAA has voted to allow fall sports. That means football will start on August 24th, with most teams kicking off their season on Friday, September 4th. Florida State coach Mike Norvell said his team, quote, is on the same page one day after a trio of receivers took to Twitter offering concerns about testing and transparency during the coronavirus pandemic. And, gosh darn it, got off my schedule and everything.
What happened?
A lot of baseball tonight. The Rays, they're in Toronto. No, they're not. They're in Buffalo.
And the Marlins are back in action hosting the Braves, although I don't know if that game is actually in Miami or not. They might just be the home team.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Big Quinn, a regular contributor to the show, tap the brakes on Chris. He said, damn, Chris has dyslexia on the radio, coming up with it's UPI dipstick. He said IUPY. That was a joke toward me because that's Indiana University, Purdue University of Indianapolis, where I took summer school in order to graduate early at IU. It was a legitimate joke. Just relax. It's a Friday. We're going to hear from Mike Norvell in just a moment. Things just seem like
Big Quinn, and I don't want to diagnose somebody over the radio without having ever met somebody, but it seems like there's a couple different personalities locked in there.
Oh, really?
The Big Quinn's got a lot of different little personalities that make up the big personality that is the Big Quinn. That's what it seems like to me. He's hot. He's cold. He's yes. He's no. He's wrong. He's right. He's all over the place.
Yeah.
All over the... I don't know if he likes the show or not.
Well, he listens every day, so I guess so. All right, so you heard Chris there. Good news. Florida High School Athletic Association says play ball. So that means football practice could start August 24th. All fall sports could start August 24th. First games would be around the 5th. And I am genuinely curious. I want to hear from a parent or two out there. So your kid's going to go play. Are you cool with it? Are you being asked to sign a waiver? Are you nervous about it? We've made the point. When we look at the NBA bubble, you know, they're taken care of. They're protected. You look at the college football players, like at Clemson, for example. They're in the complex all the time. They're getting tested three times a week. They're almost in a bubble. Your kid playing high school, not necessarily in a bubble. Still living life. Still going around here at Southwest Florida. Going to school with 2,000 other kids, coming home, going out to eat, hanging out. Maybe they catch something, maybe they don't. Are you nervous about it? Or are you comfortable about it? Particularly if you look at the numbers involving young people in COVID. It's microscopic. But I'd like to hear from some people at 239-337-ESPN.
We had a text earlier today. Somebody texting in saying that they asked their pediatrician, what are your thoughts on going back to school? This is what the pediatrician said via the text. If you've got a healthy family, kids are healthy, you're healthy, don't come into normal contact with anybody who's elderly.
Yeah.
It's fine to send them to school.
Let's roll.
If you live with grandma and grandpa, maybe not.
Yeah, right.
I get that. I think that makes sense.
Let's take some phone calls at 239-337-ESPN. Let's start with Tiz. Tiz checking in. Want to talk about the Florida High School Athletic Association. Tiz, what's up? Are you there?
That's my bad.
That's all right. Are you there, Tiz? What's up?
Yes, I'm here. How you guys doing?
Very good. All right, what are your thoughts?
Not that I have to make something up because Chris made me talk about something. I just want to say what's up to you guys.
Oh.
But what do you guys really think? I mean, I guess the high schools have... said that it's okay to start fall sports in September. Is that going to shorten the season? 5 weeks, 6 weeks? How's that going to work out?
I honestly don't know. We were still trying to find out if fans were going to be allowed in the stands, if it was just parents or if it's like a regular deal. There's not a lot of details out other than that that they can play. So I don't know. I don't have an answer to your question yet. We might by Monday or next week or sometime, but I don't know that they have all the details out.
All right, guys. All right. Cool. Have a good weekend, guys.
Have a good weekend, Tiz. Appreciate it. Let's see here. 239 text again. My son plays at Mariner, and yes, I'm excited. His senior year, and I am very comfortable about it. Carl in the Cape says, I'm a teacher, and having students play athletics makes me apprehensive, especially when the school district is not giving COVID-19 tests. They want you to get your own. Look, that's a legitimate point. Let's go to Sean, who wants to make fun of my win in Wiki. Sean, how are you?
Happy Friday, fellas.
Happy Friday.
Chris, thank you for putting on my tires. That made my Friday better. I had the people in the Wendy's drive-thru because I'm doing my Uber Eats, and they're sitting there screaming, putting your hands up in the air to the drive-thru speaker. So,
all right.
I did it for you, Sean.
Way to take one for the show. I like it.
Craig, when I turned on the radio, I heard you won. You got your second win, and you got your second score before next person's turn. I'm like, oh, Craig might win this. And then I heard you just keep striking out. I'm like, oh, that was very anticlimactic. I thought you were going to pull out an amazing win. And that was just like, you kind of fumbled your chances away. You know, you're like Daniel Jones there. You fumbled the win away.
No, I had a tremendous running game. I went to the 4-minute drill. I ran out the clock with the ball. Didn't give it back to the other team. That's what it was.
You could do all that. You still didn't do that well, though. You know, you have like an asterisk next to that win because you know he probably didn't know most of it just of his age. You know, but like you're like the Astros. You know, you probably knew a little more, and you know,
he just called you the Astros.
That's harsh, man. That is harsh.
You know, he didn't see these kind of questions coming. You probably knew what some of the questions were going to be like. You know.
Yeah. Well, it was tough, Sean. It was tough, but I had to get there and get the win, Sean. I got it. Win at all costs. Thank you for the call. Have a great weekend, man. Somebody texting in here that marching band will not be playing here.
Well, if that's not happening, then but a marching band, let's think about this.
You have more kids involved in that than the football.
And you've got a lot of
atmosphere.
Well, and you can't really play an instrument, at least a woodwind, with a mask on.
Yeah.
And a lot of those woodwinds, there's a spittle valve.
True.
Or at least, you know, maybe a trumpet. You're blasting spittle particles all over the place.
Okay, social distance is spread out. And don't sell out all the tickets to the stadium. Let them spread out a little bit.
Okay, right. I don't know. I'm trying to think about the reasons why. So, you know.
I saw Nighthawk. Chris, are you tracking Pete and Craig's one-loss records for Wikipedia?
No, I'm not, and I will not.
Thirsty Nick might be.
Yeah, I will not be doing that. That sounds exhausting. To go back and listen to, 2.5 years worth of show?
Yeah, exactly.
Every day, listen to the whole segment. No, God, no.
No. It's your job to listen. You're the program director here, Chris.
I've listened to all of them. Well, not all of them. To most of them.
Yeah, you have.
But I'm not going back and listening to them.
No.
Very cumbersome.
Well, you've already lived through it once.
Exactly.
Why do it again?
Been there, done that.
The podcast there for people that miss it or really enjoy it, and you got to say, hey, to your friends, hey, you got to catch this out. And then just go to 993ESPN.com, Sheeman Shipper podcast. Boom. Everything we've done right there. Let's hear from our fearless leader, Mark Emmert, the head of the NC2A. He spoke yesterday. Give credit here to the NCAA's website. He said, look, I can't prevent colleges from jumping to other conferences. That was the thing that Nebraska was thinking about. Ohio State was thinking about it. But then ultimately decided not to because I think they got threatened by their own conferences. But here's Mark Emmert yesterday.
We don't have authority to say to a school, yeah, okay, we know that your conference isn't playing, but if you want to go ahead and play over here, I may think that's a silly idea, but it's not up to me. It's not up to anybody. That school has its own authority to do that. Now, its conference colleagues could say, you know, if you do that, we're going to throw you out of the conference. That's fine. But they still can do what they want there. That's never been the prerogative of the NCAA. And in my opinion, it never should be.
Here's more from Mark Emmert. You cannot. Now, this sounds like he's just trying to protect his territory a little bit. You cannot have a czar of college football controlling everything.
College football playoff in the old BCS is nothing more than a series of contractual agreements among those 10 conferences to say, let's talk about how we want to end the year. And they came together with this model, and it works remarkably well. I get that people want simple answers. I get that it's frustrating that some conferences are playing and some aren't. Right now, that's just the way it has to be to do this inside college sports. That's not right or wrong or better or worse. And when people say, well, if we just had a czar that come in and say, we're going to make a decision, that'll be it. You know, history, if it's taught us anything, people love the concept of a czar. They hate czars.
See, Mark Emmert is the swamp. And he doesn't want us to drain the swamp.
Oh, hold on.
I want a czar.
Hold on. Okay, because we kind of had this conversation on a different level about 4 months ago. But what if the data does show? Like, okay, I don't think it does. But what if the data does show, hey, we don't think on the west coast of the U.S., you know, cases spiking in California right now. We don't think that we can safely put on a college football season. If there's one czar and he runs everything in college football,
right?
He might, or she might say, Pac-12 can't do it. Nobody can do it.
They might also say Pac-12 can't do it, but the SEC can. They can make that decision.
They could, but is it more likely to have one person say, you can play, you cannot, you can play, you cannot? Or is it more realistic to think, okay, we're going to let the guys who operate in their geographical area make the call based off the data in their geographical area? I don't think that was the case with the Big Ten or the Pac-12. I'm just saying, I see what Mark Emmert's saying there about having a czar of college football.
Well, let's have a czar who can look at the data from, I mean, obviously, what did the Big Ten see that the ACC hasn't seen? And vice versa. They're making different decisions.
Well, when we were talking with William Quackenbush from the Clemson Tigers radio network, he brought that up, and I brought it up earlier in the week saying, look, if you're the Big Ten and you've got data that says, hey, there's long-term risks here, you need to be getting on your blowhorn from atop of a mountain and screaming it to anybody who will listen. You have a moral obligation to do it at that point, and they're not doing that.
I agree. Absolutely. But I still think whether it's COVID or recruiting practices or pay for play or gambling on sports and different laws from different states, you need a guy who could pull all this together and come up with a policy. The college sports is going to get screwed because they're going to be told what to do by Congress ultimately, whether not for the COVID, but for the other stuff that I just mentioned. And that's what you don't want. You don't want Congress making rules for you. You want to make your own rules. But Mark Emmert seems like he doesn't do anything. He just drags his feet. He's forced to discuss pay for play only when it becomes legal in 30 states. He's forced to deal with the gambling issue after it becomes legal in 24 states. I mean, how about being proactive instead of reactionary all the time? He's doing a horrible job, whatever his job is. Yeah. By the way, you like the bubble? Here's Mark Emmert talking about the bubble for some sports like, I don't know, March Madness, basketball.
If we modify the model, which we need to do anyway because of the virus, if we modify the model, shrink the bracket sizes, do everything in predetermined sites instead of running kids around the country, use predetermined sites, move toward bubbles or semi-bubble models in volleyball, let's say, or soccer, there's a way to do it. Will it be normal? Of course not. You'll be playing a fall sport in the spring. Will it create other conflicts and challenges? Of course. But is it doable? Yeah, it is doable, and we want to do that. We want to, again, make it work for these students.
Chris, that's the second time I heard the soundbite. I didn't catch this the first time. He said one of the things we could do is shrink the brackets.
68 to 64.
Does that mean we have less teams, or does that mean we have more brackets, different regions?
Well, you can't shrink the bracket down to 32 because we have 31 automatic qualifiers.
Yeah.
So unless you're going to take one at large.
Yeah.
And you would know. Did they, because it used to just be conference champions got in, right?
Yeah, when it was 32, I believe.
It was 32,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And did it expand right from 32 to 64, or did they go to like a 48 for a few years?
I think I recall it going to 64.
Immediately?
I could be wrong on this, because I was a single-digit age kid when this happened. I don't think it went to 48. I don't think. Somebody knows, you could back me up or tell me I'm wrong.
We would all lose our knowledge on where True TV is on the guide.
Wouldn't need it.
Well, you'd still need it for those first that first round game. Four games going on at a time. You got to have TNT, CBS, TBS, and True TV.
Yeah. All right. Very good. For you Seminole fans, since we're talking college football, again, a big mess. Players at Florida State claiming that there's no transparency with all the COVID testing. This is weeks after there was a problem. A player or two criticized Mike Norvell about not communicating about the George Floyd thing. And that turned out to be inaccurate. It's just a rough start for Mike over there at Florida State. He says, contrary to some tweets, he and his assistants have been very transparent with his players.
Coming off the field, just made aware of some tweets and I guess messages that were sent out from a couple of players that were not here today at practice. You know, we'll address those with any questions. As we go throughout, it's obviously disappointing to see what was said. We've been very open and transparent throughout this process. We've had a voluntary camp. We've had voluntary summer access. We've been very transparent throughout all aspects.
And here is more from Norvell. It says he's just honest with his players.
And I've been very transparent with every player that I've talked to, and with our entire team. Everybody had an opportunity to ask questions. We had good back and forth the other night in our team meeting, and just continuing to urge guys to make the proper decisions when they're away from the facility, and then following protocol when they're here at the facility.
All right, boy, I just. Rather be a Gator fan than a Seminole fan right now. Gators are on the cusp of doing something really special, and it seems like Florida State's got a long way to go. Long time ago since Bobby Bowden and even the good years of Jimbo.
Yeah, but I've always thought that in this state particularly, you get the right two recruiting classes back-to-back,
yeah,
and you've turned it around.
Right.
You've turned your entire program around by just getting the right group of kids from this state. You don't have to leave the state, not to mention Florida State near the border. You can dip your toe into Georgia, dip your toe into Alabama, go into, the deeper south, if you will, and go get players from there. It's so easy to rebuild a program down here. That's why I'm never going to count Miami out. I'm not going to count Florida State out, because the right recruiting class, and it's fixed. Yeah. Problem solved just like that. And you turn it. Look how quick Dan Mullen turned it around in Florida. Yeah. That program was a mess offensively. Could not score 24 points a game. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
He shows up 2 years later, boom, change of quarterback, Frank's out, Trask in, Florida Gators, top five program in the country now with the Big Ten and Pac-12 out.
Easy peasy, just like that. Hey, starting on Monday, a brand new lineup. This show not affected, just the national shows on ESPN Radio. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the new morning show, followed by Dan Lebatard's show with Stu Gossip, Ted the Dude. Mike Greenberg back on the network, The Greeny Show. From noon to 2, that will be our lead-in. Sheeman and Shepard remaining, holding down the fort from 2 to 6 every weekday right here. The all-new ESPN Radio lineup beginning Monday, August 17th. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Well, Whitney, huh?
Yeah. She's fantastic.
She had a great voice.
Fantastic. All time.
Yeah, it is an
all-time. All-time voice.
What a shame.
Sounds effortless.
It does sound effortless. No doubt. I got some people texting in that 75 northbound is a standstill north of Bonita Beach Road. That is exit 116. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, be careful out there. All the rain. And anyway, just be careful. So, it's that time of day. Going to have those showers. Yeah, I noticed a couple things I didn't get to here today. Let's see here. It's National Kool-Aid Day. Chris, as a child, did you do Kool-Aid, or is that like, did your generation not do Kool-Aid?
Remember doing it when I was like a little kid, but yeah. Not really like once I got into the preteen or teenage
by then
years.
You moved on to Gatorade or something.
Yeah, whatever. But yeah, I remember that, and the commercials were always a big thing.
Yeah. We should have done this as a poll question today. Your favorite flavor? See, I always like grape. Followed by cherry.
No, cherry.
I was never a big fan of the orange, although I would probably like it now as an adult.
Yeah, well, I always went the red cherry. I don't even know if it was cherry. I know it was red.
Just the red.
Yeah.
Red Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Those are the drinks when you can tell they're just, there's no nutritional value in them. There's no flavor. It's just red.
Well, it's got a lot of sugar. I mean, it's sweet.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. National Tattoo Removal Day.
Oh.
I've heard that hurts like hell. Does it? And
I don't know.
I know you don't have a tattoo. I'm wondering if it is no, Big Quinn, we're not smart enough to bring umbrellas into the
studio. No, but I brought my rain jacket in.
Oh, did you?
I brought my rain jacket in.
Heady play. I've got the hoodie with the hood on it. That's
I'm proud of myself. And then 4 o'clock hour, I ran out. I had a couple putters in my office.
Yeah?
Put those in the car so I didn't forget them for my round on Sunday morning. And when I was in there, I said, you know what? Let's think ahead, Christopher.
Good thinking. Good thinking. Let's see here. Now, yeah, so is removing a tattoo a multiple step process or?
Yes, I know that it's like, it's not like you go one time, you walk in with the tattoo, walk out, tattoo gone.
Really?
It's a multiple step thing.
Like, what do you gotta do? Like, scrape skin cells off and have it pus up? And then...
No, it's like, I know it's laser. It's a laser.
And then, like, they burn so the it's ink like out burning. Of your
yeah,
skin
it's,
cells?
It's burning it, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, it sounds. As painful as a tattoo sounds, that sounds a lot more painful.
That sounds worse. And do they ever truly get rid of it, or is it just like shaded? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you can see shadows of the remnants.
I don't know. It seems to me like it'd be a better idea to get it covered.
Yeah.
Right. So if like you got a girl's name on your arm, like just have a lion's face there,
right?
And then just put the mane where her name was,
right.
And then you can never tell.
Well. Had a friend had that happen to.
Ooh.
Had the old girlfriend's name on the shoulder.
Yeah. You gotta get it covered.
Got another tat to cover it up.
Yep.
Then got married.
Did he make the same mistake twice?
No.
Okay.
The wife was just looking at him one day and all of a sudden got white as a ghost. I couldn't believe it. And she could read through.
Oh no.
She could see through and had never noticed it before and see the girl's name on the arm.
How'd that work out?
It was a rough night.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And
slept on the couch?
And I believe he had to go get more tattoo on top of the tattoo to cover up the tattoo.
That is terrible.
Memphis Tom says, grape cherry mix. Do yourself a favor. Yes, I was going to say that. Absolutely.
And Tattoo Guy says, Tattoo Guy here can confirm tattoos hurt.
Yeah, but what about removal? Is it worse? That's what we need to know. And then today is...
Great advice, Big Quinn. Just find a girl with the same name.
Could do that.
I knew before we even met, sweetheart.
Yeah. Absolutely. Good plan. It is also National Wiffle Ball Day. Now, Wiffle Ball was a lot of fun back in the day, and it was... Wiffle ball helped out when you say when you had limited space, you really couldn't crank. Or like you had to play maybe in a front yard and the windows were right there, and you didn't want to break any windows with like a real baseball and hit any real home run taters.
Well, to get a full like baseball game together, that takes work.
Yeah,
I mean you got to get a lot of guys together.
Yeah,
wiffle ball. Yeah. All you got to do is if you can get eight buddies together,
right?
That's four teams right there. Nine, you got three teams. You're just going to rotate like that. Winner stays on the field.
Yeah.
Love wiffle ball. And get out of here with these like official nets as the strike zone. No. Grow up. Go get a trash can. If it hits the trash can, it's a strike. Or if it hits the lawn chair, it's a strike.
I like that.
That's the strike zone in wiffle ball.
Right.
And there's no arguing.
Absolutely.
If it nicks it, it nicks it. And that's a strike.
Right. We played probably, we got down to 2-on-2. It was a little better if you could get 3-on-3.
3-on-3 is ideal, but yeah, you can play 2-on-2.
Yeah.
No doubt. Pitcher's mound is out, force runner. You get the lead runner there. No double plays, obviously. Yeah.
We had ghost runners.
Ghost runners, you got, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Bases juiced, you got three of you.
What are you going to do? Somebody's got to hit.
Ghost runner on first. And that ghost runner is the fastest person on earth. That is Usain Bolt as the ghost runner.
Yeah.
A single to right field. He's scoring from first.
Absolutely.
At least that's what I'm arguing.
Thank you, Mike in the Cape. It says, love listening to you guys. Always great. Have a great weekend, guys. You too. You too, all of you.
Oh, wiffle ball. I mean, I had a solid group of buddies growing up, and we had one friend who had a massive side yard, and we got a hair up our ass one summer.
Yeah,
we built a green monster.
Yeah,
we went to Home Depot. We got the big sheets of plywood.
Really?
We drilled them together.
No kidding.
We put this whole thing up. We had Fenway Park set up. We got like the little BS orange like construction fencing.
Yeah, yeah.
We wrapped that around for the rest of the outfield. I mean, it was
fantastic. Did you get the lawnmower out and do the baseball?
No, we didn't. But it was all for naught. See, when you're 15, 16 years old, the idea of a homeowners association never crosses your mind. And again, I said side yard, not backyard. A lot of freedom in a backyard in an HOA, not so much in the side yard. We had one glorious day and had to take it down.
Yeah, take it down after one day?
Had to take it down. Yep.
Oh, that is awful. Awful. Today is also National Color Book Day. Now, your kids are coloring book age, but is that a thing at all? You got some Crayola crayons going on around the house and color books or no?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got everything. We do the crayons, the markers, and the pencils. Now, they've got these new, I don't know if they have these when your kids were younger, but they've got these pens, right? You put a little water in the backside of them.
Yeah.
And then it's like almost a brush, right?
Yeah.
And all you do is you just brush the water. A little bit of water comes out. Yeah. Brush the water on these, it's paper, but it like, once it gets wet, the colors start to appear.
Oh, yeah, we had those. We had those when I was a kid, yeah.
Oh, I never had those as a kid. Yeah. I learned how to color, you know. By coloring.
I mean, that's just cheap. You can just splat water all over and boom, you got a masterpiece.
That's all you're doing. So those, we found those are the popular ones. And then they've also got these ones now. The markers are invisible ink and they only show up on the specific paper.
Yeah.
Those are fine.
Yeah. Now, when I was a kid, I don't know what this says about my personality, but I would be a kid that always tried to color perfectly inside the lines. And then once I made my first mistake, where I, oops, got outside the line a little bit, I wouldn't finish the whole thing up. Yep, I wouldn't finish.
I get where you're at.
Be a kid outside the lines kind of kid. That's why I just all over doing whatever you want.
I don't want to say all over, but I'm not going to throw away 5 minutes of work because you know I got a little rogue with the fire engine red. And with markers especially, if you just like outline and then color in the space around the outline, that's the way I always address that.
That's what I used to do. I get the Crayola crayon, had the 88 pack, multiple colors with the sharpener in the back.
We go 96 now.
Do you?
96,
wow,
yeah.
Created more colors. And I go around the edge and then let her rip on the inside. But if I got a little too fast, went outside the black line, that was it for me. And that seems to say something about my personality. Like maybe I'm an imperfect perfectionist, but maybe I quit too easy.
An imperfect, I don't think that exists. That's just a person.
I want to be a perfectionist, but I'm imperfect, and then therefore I quit.
All right.
I don't know what that means. Tire God checking. Tire God's listening to the entire show.
Yeah, he's been there.
Also, good weekend, guys. Love the show. Thank you, Tire God. Appreciate it. How did we give him the name Tire God? That's an interesting name.
I think he asked for that one.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Does he work at a tire store?
He kept signing everything hashtag tire god, so yeah. I said, okay.
Get me some tires when I get my treads getting a little bald. I don't know. Chris, it's 108. We got 239 says they got 108 colors now.
108?
108.
Sheesh.
There's a lot of fuchsia. And
a lot of different forms of
periwinkle.
Different shades of seafoam green.
Yeah.
And that sharpener on the backside?
Yeah.
Terrible.
It does not do a good job.
It is crap.
Nothing's better than an original crayon, and then you'll never get it that good again.
Never.
Once you use it. They smell good when you open up the box. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about that Crayola smell. It's
cool. Oh, do you remember the markers that were scented?
The fruit flavored? Yeah, like the strawberry reds.
So good.
Those were good.
Take a cap off and art class would go by like that.
Oh, very good. All right, we got Red Sox baseball coming up tonight, taking on the Yankees in the Bronx. 6:30 airtime for that, 7:30 first pitch. It's brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Boys and girls, it's the weekend. What you got coming up next? Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, here we go with What You Got. Close out the week on this day in history, August 14th, 1932. Dodger John Quinn was 49. He was the oldest pitcher to win a major league game. In 1936, Team USA beat Canada for the basketball gold in the Olympics in Berlin. It was the inaugural men's basketball competition. Final score, 19-8. Barn burner. And it was played outdoors.
Where was this? Dean Smith was coaching?
1936.
He was alive.
Could have been.
He was alive.
Yeah, he was. The game was played in poor conditions. It was played outside. 19-8, your final score. Dean Smith doing four corners. 1953, the 20th NFL All-Star Game in Chicago. in front of 94,000 fans. Detroit, 24. The NFL All-Stars, 10. Oh, the 50s.
The good old days, right, Craig?
Great decade. Total dominance. In 1969, the Mets, soon thereafter known as the Miracle Mets, 9.5 games back on August 14th, they won the pennant. And on this day in 2016, doesn't seem like 4 years ago, Usain Bolt from Jamaica, Mon, won the 100-meter gold in Rio de Janeiro with a 9.81. You know, I never felt like he hit his best because he always seemed to hot dog it the last 10 feet every time.
That would be meters. 10 meters.
What did I say?
Feet. He covers 10 feet in one stride.
Oh, all right. Fine. Fair enough. Happy birthday, Earl Weaver, although he's no longer with us. Born in 1930. Steve Martin, born on this day in 1945. Wild and crazy guy.
Great banjo player.
Actually, he is. World class.
Yeah. No, seriously. Also, phenomenal father and father of the bride.
True, true.
There for his daughter. What more can you ask?
1954, Mark the Bird Fidrich was born. One of my favorite players of all time. Happy birthday, Magic Johnson. 1959. Yeah, Mark Gubiza was born on this day in 1962. Friend of the program. 1983, Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
What do you think she's doing for her birthday tonight?
Are bars open in Los Angeles?
I don't know. She married.
I haven't seen her in a while. Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher, yeah. And in 1987, Tim Tebow was born on this day.
Oh,
how about that? Tim Tebow. We could have had him. Yeah, well, we did. He was an answer
yesterday for National Left-Handers Day.
Yep, very good. All right, Chris, what you got to close us out?
Three things real quick, a little context. There's only one team 9.5 games back right now in Major League Baseball. That's the Pirates trailing the Cubbies by 9.5 games. So you're telling me there's a chance.
Well, that was with 162 games. In fact, it might have been 158 games.
No, yeah, but the way the timing works out, I mean, it's probably about the same, right, number of games?
Just make it through September.
40
maybe.
Games?
Maybe.
Right about there?
You're saying there's a chance.
Saying there's a chance. Quote from the bubble today, Jimmy Butler on if the Heat will be bolstering their roster in free agency. That's something that's going on down there. A lot of players talking to other players, upcoming free agents, trying to, you know, talk to other teams or at least players on other teams.
Yeah.
See what's happening. And Jimmy Butler said, quote, I think it'll happen. Only time will tell. I'm telling you, the organization is really good at getting what they want to win a championship. It's going to happen. We have all the key pieces, shooters, youth, vets, and I think a little Miami sunshine never hurt anybody.
All right. Well, and then, you know, players talking.
Joel Embiid.
Okay. Maybe. Players talking inside the bubble. I think the Suns had a bad rap as an organization, but they just showed their best foot forward and went 8-0, and there might be some excitement with that team. So.
Yeah. And then real quick, give you a winner. Roll with the Marlins on the money line tonight. They're minus 105, so I don't feel bad about giving you a money line pick. They are 30-22. I am 30-22-2 on the season after giving you a winner last night.
All right, good luck. Have a great weekend. Good luck with your fantasy football draft. That'll do it.
Thank you. Christian McCaffrey will be on my roster come 3:05 Sunday afternoon.
Very good. Pete will be back on Monday for Chris, for Pete Shepard. I'm Craig Sheeman. Thanks for listening, Southwest Florida. Have a great weekend. God bless America and the world.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.